It was a miracle of the restoring of health to a man. The man had an infirmity, and for 38 years he could not walk. Apparently, the man was able to walk as a child, and he became infirm. So Jesus then came along and was going to show that he can restore health. In this incident here, it shows him as a restorer of the limbs, and he's capable of doing that. But it also shows something else. And in fact, the miracle is subsidiary to the overall principle here of what happened on that particular day. Chapter 5 of John. And there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. Now that means that undoubtedly he didn't have the infirmity 39 years ago, but now he had been having it for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. This again shows mankind's ideas. You either got to come down and touch me, like the nobleman said, or someone's got to carry me down and put me in. How many times have you been seeing that put into action? I'll send a minister with an anointed cloth or a bottle of oil. Not that that's wrong in itself necessarily, but you know how many of us have said, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. In every one of these cases here, you find you don't have to do it. Jesus didn't pick him up and put him in any water that was being troubled. In fact, the water wasn't even troubled at all. It says here, But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. That's all he said to him. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. Now notice, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now this is important. Who is the Creator being discussed here? Jesus Christ. John said in the very first verses, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without Him. Who are we talking about here? The Creator of heaven and earth. We're also talking about the one who rested on the seventh day back there, at creation, aren't we? We're also talking about the one who gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Who are we talking about? He's already been demonstrating here so far his power to create, and he can do it, and he's going to do it in all of these miracles. He is the Creator. This is the significance of what John is showing, if we can just see it. He is talking about the Creator of heaven and earth, and he is trying to point that out here. Well, this man got to his pallet and began to walk, but it says, on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed or pallet. And I don't care how many people are going to argue with me on this. I know for a fact, and I can prove it from the Scripture, that according to the Old Testament, that man was doing an act which was unlawful. And that is a fact, and the Pharisees were correct. They were absolutely correct. But Jesus told that man to take up that pallet and walk. And the day was the Sabbath day. You see what John is getting at here? The next miracle, by the way, is going to be the one, I'm going to prompt myself a little bit, when the man was born blind. His eyes were made so he could see, and it also says that when Jesus took a little, he spat on the ground, took up the clay and put it in the man's eyes, and said, that was also on the Sabbath day. That's significant. It's on the Sabbath day, because here is a man who is nothing more than the Creator of heaven and earth, who gave the Sabbath day in the first place, gave all laws and everything, and he's demonstrating in the midst of everybody he's the Creator, and they ought to realize it. And here they are repudiating him. Any Jew should have realized, theologically speaking, that if God would have come down in a new Mount Sinai of some kind and said, keep Monday, or keep Tuesday, or keep no day, if they knew it was God, you know what every Orthodox Jew would have done? If they knew it was God, they said, well, let's do it. Of course. And what was Jesus doing? He was absolutely demonstrating himself to be the Creator. And they're criticizing him because he says to a man, pick up your pallet and walk. And though it was illegal, that's quite true. It's not illegal when the Creator of heaven and earth tells a man he can do that on the Sabbath day. You see, it's an issue here of who are we talking about? Is it Jesus? Is he the Creator? Or is he just some prophet of some kind? Or just an ordinary man walking the street? Who are we talking about? When he tells you to pick up the bed on the Sabbath and break the Sabbath if you want to, you're going to have to argue with your Creator if you're going to dispute with him. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up your bed and walk. They then asked him, what man is that which saith unto thee, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus found him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. One of the major things that put Jesus Christ on the cross was this action on the Sabbath day. But not only that, let's read the rest of it here. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He was working on the Sabbath day. And if anybody says he wasn't working on the Sabbath day, you're going to have to argue with John, because he said he was. He was working. That was illegal. But you know, from the point of view of the Jews. But who are they talking about here? They are talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. That's what John is showing. And if they're going to argue with the Creator, they're in serious difficulty. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only loosed, or let's say broken the Sabbath, if we wish, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And that's what killed him. That's what put him on the cross. Blasphemy, because he said he was God. Every action that he did showed that he was God. And what did they do? They repudiated him. Now the interesting thing about this is this healing took place on the Sabbath day. It shows that he has power over all laws, and he can do as he pleases with any of the laws, and he doesn't have to be subject to any law that he's ever made or will make, because he is law personified. He can do as he pleases. And it's about time people began to realize that. The rest of this chapter shows Jesus saying, like in verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Then he speaks about judgment also in verse 30. I can of myself do nothing, but I hear. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now this whole context here is showing that Jesus is the judge. He has proper judgment. He can tell people to work on the Sabbath if he wants to, because he is the Creator. This is the key. So this fifth point shows that he has power over all spiritual laws, just not over liquids, not over solids, not over distance and space, not over just time. He has power over law. And this is what it's showing. It's demonstrating that he is the Word, the Creator of heaven and earth. He also was a restorer of this man's health. A restorer of this man's health. In the next illustration, though, which is the sixth one, is the man born blind. That's John chapter 6. This is the sixth one, the man born blind. Now it says, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now notice this. Jesus here, he's going to heal this man. I don't have time to go into it at length. And he's going to heal him, and he does. And you know the method by which he does it. But in this case, Jesus is not going to restore health to the man like the lame man. You know, he had his health at one time. And Jesus, what he did was to restore it. He can restore your health too. But this time, he's going to create something. He's going to create light to that man's eyes. again showing that this is the Creator. This is John chapter 9. Well, when he was healed, and his eyes were created, you should say, he had never seen a day in his life. But now he was seeing. This is showing him as the Creator, even of light for man. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Isn't it interesting? The two miracles, one of restoring a man to health, telling him to walk on, carry his pallet on the Sabbath day, and the other of creating light or eyesight to a man from nothing, creating it, so that he now has eyes in his head. All of this was done on the Sabbath day. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he that received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. How many times have I heard people say, you're not of God because you don't do this or you don't do that? They'll do it time and again. Now, I don't mind people telling me that I'm not God because I don't do things right. I know I don't do things right. But if someone comes in their midst doing all of these things, creating out of nothing, right in the midst of them, clearly showing who he is, and then come around and say to him, this man cannot be of God because he does these things on the Sabbath. He breaks the Sabbath. Something is wrong somewhere. You know who Jesus was? He was the Lord of the Sabbath. That's what it says in Mark. He's the owner of it. He allowed his disciples to go through the cornfields to pluck, to rub, and to eat, which was illegal. And the illustrations he gave were two illegal things. Well, one particularly, David went in the temple and ate the showbread, which he should not have done. And Christ gives as an excuse for them to break the Sabbath the fact that he allowed David to do it without retribution. And he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I own it. It's mine. I can do as I jolly well please with it, as an Englishman would say. And if he is the Creator, can't he? Well, of course he can. This is the whole object. You know, this matter of you can either do this on the Sabbath or not do this, you can argue back all you want to. But you know, the object here of what is at stake is Christ's divinity over this matter of the Sabbath. It's Christ's divinity. Either he is the Creator, and he was the one who not only created liquid, solid, time, space, distance, mass, everything, you know, everything there is, either, and also the Sabbath day and all laws, either he is that or he isn't. If he is that, he has a right to change it or do as he pleases with it, can't he? Of course he can. Well, here he is, not only simply restorer of health to a person, but a creator of sight. And he did it on a day that the Jews didn't like. Mankind doesn't like what he does, but he gives it anyway. And notice the two illustrations here of the miracles. I haven't time to comment on this, but from Isaiah, you'll recall it. He says, when the Messiah comes, he will cause the lame to walk and the blind to see. And the two main miracles right here of these of we're discussing right now, a lame man walking and a blind man seeing. It's a perfect fulfillment, you know, of these things. But that's the sixth one. But you know, the seventh miracle before Christ's death on the cross was perhaps the greatest of all, because it shows the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And that is in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. Well, the whole chapter really has it. Now, I don't have time to refer to all of this. You know it. I'm sure you do. But the interesting thing about this is that this is the seventh miracle. And you know, the seventh miracle, and it's seventh in order as well, is the final miracle, you might say, other than the miracle of Christ's resurrection himself, which is the eighth. But this is the final that he gives, as far as John is concerned. And it's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, is this a creator that can do this, or is it not? Chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And he had heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He didn't even go to see him, which is unusual, isn't it? Many times we wonder, why doesn't he come to us when we're sick too, you know, right on time? And then after he said to his disciples afterward, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. He'd healed the blind man just previously, and now he was seeing light. All of these things are tied together, if you can just see it. I don't have time to go into it all together here. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These same things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he will do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And it says in verse 17 that Jesus, when he came, he found him in the grave 4 days already. 4 days in the grave. Look at verse 34. You know the rest of the story, I'm sure. And he said, Where have ye laid him? Once he got to Bethany, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore came, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's in a state of decay. No life there whatsoever. For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto you that if you wouldest believe, you shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. And they let him go. This is the final miracle that Christ gave as far as John was concerned. And you know what it was? The resurrection from the dead. Does this not show he is the creator of life and death? Death, true, but life also, and that he can give it back if he pleases? This was the seventh miracle, and it shows him to be the creator of everything, to substantiate what John said at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All of these miracles are showing him in his power over all nature, things which are visible and invisible. They're carefully selected to do that very task, to be able to support him as being creator of heaven and earth. That's the significance. But the seventh one, and the seventh is the final, is his victory over death, which is most important for all of us. His victory over death. He said, if we eat his bread, his flesh, which was like his bread, drink his wine, which was like his blood, like wine, which to connect with the other miracles and all of that, we can have life. You see, all of these miracles really are interconnected with one another. If you have the light of the world, the blind man, you know, that received his light, and his light, so he could see. All of these things are interconnected to be able to prove that he is the creator. But the seventh one there is the best one for all of us when you get down to it, because it shows him to have the power over death. And he can give life to anybody. And he gave it there to Lazarus. Now that's the seventh. That's the seventh miracle up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But you know, God the Father reserved the greatest miracle of all to be number eight, to be the eighth, because that concerned Jesus Christ himself. He died on the cross with the blood spilling, connected with the wine, you know, and the bread and everything like that, or the former parts. That's quite true. We don't have to rehearse that. But he died on the cross for the sins of the world. 3 days later, he came up out of the grave. He came up out of the grave himself, which is most remarkable. Not Lazarus this time. And there's a fundamental difference between the miracle of raising Lazarus and the miracle of raising Christ. Lazarus came back to physical life. Jesus Christ came back to life eternal, if he wishes it, and he has it. It's different, but yet it's the same, but yet it's different. The emphasis is different. The power of it is different. And when we see Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, which is really one of the most provable things you can possibly imagine in history, you have here not God the Father now entering into the whole affair. Not only is Jesus the Creator, but here's the Creator dead, and yet God the Father raises him from the dead, back to life for all time to come. That is the power that is within God the Father's hand and grasp, and he has given it to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, when you put it all together, here you've got John trying to substantiate, not trying, doing quite adequately, I would say. He is selecting certain miracles to be able to prove the first three verses of what he starts out with. And again, I rehearsed them. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The first thing he starts out with is to show Jesus Christ as Creator. And in the midst of the Jews, back there in Palestine, John the Apostle selects these very mature teachings to illustrate that Jesus Christ was indeed the Creator of heaven and earth. He created mass, he created time, he created space, he created and governs the elements. He was the one who put law in motion. He was the one who is given judgment and has judgment and law of laws. He is the one who restores people to health. He is the one who can create health or create life. He is the one who can bring people back from the dead, and he's the one who can give spiritual life for all time to come. It's all right here in the Gospel of John. And why is it? Because he is the Creator of all things. When Jesus was walking the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee some 1900 years ago, he was the Creator. And John specifically brought out those seven miracles, or the eight, if you want to put it that way, to be able to show who it was walking the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee. It was no ordinary man, but the Creator of heaven and earth.